So Joshua 24, verse 13 says, "And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards and oliveyards which ye planted not do ye eat." Verse 14, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And the people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight, and preserved us in all the way wherein we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God." And Joshua said unto the people, "Ye cannot serve the Lord, for He is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions, nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that He hath done you good." And the people said unto Joshua, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." And Joshua said unto the people, "Ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve Him." And they said, "We are witnesses." Let's pray. Lord, ask you just to help us now. Help us to serve you in sincerity and in truth. Speak to our hearts through this message. Lord, please teach us. And again, if there's someone here that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray today would be the day they'd be born again. Lord, that you would show them their need for you, and they'd come to that realization, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Have you ever come to the conclusion that God doesn't want pretend followers? Think about that. God doesn't want pretend followers. Have you ever thought about that? When we look at the time when Jesus came to this earth, when God Himself came here as a man, and He lived, He denounced pretend followers. He denounced hypocrisy. I've had people tell me before, as I seek to share the gospel with them, invite them to church, say, "I don't go to church, there's too many hypocrites there." It's a true statement, I've seen it. Sadly, it's a true statement. And again, I'm not saying that you come to church, you love God, you serve God, you're not going to do wrong, you're not going to sin at times. But there's a difference between, you know, you falling, stumbling in sin, and just out and out going and running after sin. I hope we understand that. Not anyone's going to be perfect. Not anyone here will not ever stop sinning until the Lord comes back. That's not going to happen. There's going to be sin, but there's a difference in indulging in it and then struggling with it. Okay, big difference there. But God doesn't want pretend followers. Jesus Christ denounced the hypocrites, and mostly those were the religious people. Those that were supposed to be teaching the Word of God. Think about it like this. Would you want a bunch of fake people following you around who only pretend like they liked you, but when it came down to it, they really didn't care for you? They weren't there when you needed them. Would you want people like that following you around? They act like they're your friend. They're there all the time. And then as soon as you need them, they're gone. You ever known someone like that? I've known some people like that. You friends with them still? You call them up, "Hey, buddy." No, you don't do that. You're like, "Get away from me. I don't even want to be around you." See, God doesn't want pretend followers. He wants us to follow Him, to serve Him in sincerity and truth. You know, many people only be there because of what you can give them. I look at the prodigal son. I'm not going to go through the whole story, but this son went to his father, basically, "Dad, give me what I'm going to get when you die, but give it to me now." And he took what his dad gave him. He went and lived it up, lived the party life. He had all these people following him till the money ran out. Then none of them were there for him. They were pretend followers. They were only following Him for what they could get. And there's so many people like that following God today, or pretending to follow God. It's fake. It's not real in their life. It's not genuine. It's not sincere. They're just kind of doing, "Let me see what I can get out of this." Now, there was a lot of people following Christ like that when He was here. Because, hey, He fed them. I mean, let's go see the sideshow. What's going on? I've heard about this Jesus guy. He's performing all these miracles. Let's go check it out. And they went there, and then at one time, man, he fed 5,000 people. Probably, it was likely 20,000 people with five fish and three loaves or something. I might have mixed that up. Someone can check me on that. But with not a lot of food, he fed 20,000 people. Miraculous. But they were only there so that, to see what they could get. So as you follow God, as you serve God, maybe you're not yet, maybe you're still deciding. If you're going to do it out of sincerity and truth. Be sincere. Be genuine. Don't straddle the fence, so to speak. God doesn't want those that merely give lip service to Him. In Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, this was prophesied. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, he was talking about the Israelites and even into the future, those when Christ would come, but as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, they say, oh, we love God, I love God, Jesus is great, praise the Lord, he's so good. But they've removed their heart far from me. We've all heard the statement, talk is cheap. That's what God's saying, talk is cheap. You've got all these people, they honor me with their lips, with their mouth. They say all these great things about me, but they betray me in their heart. And I'm telling you, what's in your heart is what you will be. That's what you are. It's not even what you will be, that's what you are. So what's in here is what's going to come out. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if you say something, you know, mean and hurtful, you know, that's what's in here. What's in your heart is what's going to come out. So we need to do a self-check and say, ask ourselves, are we serving God in sincerity and in truth? Or what am I doing? Why am I at church? He said, maybe because someone invited you. Good, we're glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. But if you're going to continue with it, you're going to keep serving God. Ask yourself, why? Why am I doing this? What's the point for it? Well, hopefully it's to worthy is the Lamb, to praise the Lamb, to praise God, because He wants you to, because you want to be equipped to serve Him when you leave here. See, what we're doing right here, this church, this thing right here, this is to equip us to go out into this world and reach this world with the gospel of Christ, with salvation, so they can have their sins forgiven. That's what this is about. It's to train us. It's like boot camp. That's the best way I can describe church. It's boot camp for us. It's to prepare us to serve God. To teach us God's Word so we can go out into this world and reach people for Him. These are the reasons we should be here. But ask yourself, are you doing it in sincerity and in truth? Or because somebody's expecting it? Why are you serving God? God said, these people have removed their heart from me, but they honor me with their mouth. Each of us needs to choose if we're going to serve God. Make the choice. It doesn't matter what your parents do, what your friends do, what your kids do, what your spouse does, what your neighbor does, what your coworkers do. You have to choose. How are you going to serve God? You say, but you don't know my upbringing. You don't know what my parents did to me. You don't know what I went through. And you still have to choose. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Many of the people Joshua is talking to right here, this is coming to the end of his life, but many of them, what happened with the children of Israel, they were supposed to take the promised land 40 years before they did. They were supposed to go in there. God was going to give it all to them. Things were going to be great, but they didn't trust God. They doubted God. So God said, okay, every one of you that's 20 years old and up, we're not going into the land till all of you are dead. You're not going to get to experience the promised land. We're going to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. So many of the people Joshua is talking to right now were 19 and under. And they witnessed some of these things. And they got brought in and they went through it. And you say, it wasn't their fault, per se, that they had to wander for 40 years and go through all of this stuff. Why'd we have to go through that? You don't know what my parents did to me. Well, it wasn't their fault either. They had to face some things because of what their parents had done. And maybe you've had to face some things because of what your parents have done or what somebody did to you. But you still have to choose you this day whom you will serve. Will you serve the Lord? You've got to choose. You've got to make that choice. It's before every one of us. Romans 14:12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Every one of us will give account of ourselves to God. You're going to stand before God and you're going to have to answer to God for yourself. I wish I could answer for my kids. I do. I have four children. I wish I could answer for them. I wish I could get saved for them. They have to choose that. I can't. I can only lead them. I can teach them the Bible. I can tell them what it says. But ultimately it comes down to, in their heart, they have to choose God themselves. You might be praying for a spouse, a family member to get saved, and you've already witnessed to them, you've talked to them about it, and they keep rejecting Christ and rejecting Christ and rejecting Christ. But it's up to them, and they'll stand before God, and they'll give an account of their life before God. And God says, why should I let you into heaven? I'm a good person. He says, you're a liar, a thief, a murderer, a blasphemer, an adulterer. No, you're not a good person. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. That's what God will tell you. That's what God will tell you. Think, I'm not worried about it. I'm okay. I'm going to be partying in hell with all my buddies. No. You're going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing your teeth in utter darkness. Can't even see your face in front of your hand in front of your face. That's what's waiting for you if you've not been born again. You don't have to wait for that. You have to choose whom you're going to serve. You might not know it, but everybody in here is serving something. Every one of you is serving something. I like this. Brother Murdoch brought this question up as we were talking with people, as he was sharing the gospel with them. He said, hey, what gets your boat going? What do you get up for in the morning? What do you live for? And he's really hooking them. And it's not to be mean to them. It's to get them to realize that God is not number one in their life. That they're idolaters. That's why he's doing it. But think about it. What gets you up in the morning? What do you live for? My family, my wife, my children, my job. What is it? That's what you serve. That's what you're serving. Because everybody in here is serving something. No man can serve two masters. You're serving something. And most people in this world are serving something that's not worth it. Something that's just going to burn up. Just going to burn up. As we look here in this story here in Joshua chapter 24, I believe Joshua is talking to a mixed multitude. And what I mean by a mixed multitude is I believe he's talking to some saved people, and I believe he's talking to some lost people. I believe both are included in this group. So let me ask you, where do you fit in? Are you saved or are you lost? There's an application for both groups of people. But where do you fit in? Have you been born again? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? So are you saved or are you lost? If you're lost, then the lake of fire is your destiny. But it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be. That can be changed today. Right now, as a matter of fact. So where do you fit in? Are you saved or lost? And if you're saved, are you serving God in sincerity? Is God real in your life? Are you striving to follow Him? Or is He like, you know, on the back burner? I'll remember Him when I get to Him, but I've got this other stuff I have to do first. Ask yourself. So where do we begin to serve God in sincerity and in truth? Well, if we look in verse 14, if we're to serve God in sincerity and in truth, we must fear God. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood. Fear the Lord. Fearing God's a universal command. That's given to everybody that's ever lived. It doesn't matter who it is, the president, the pope, down to every one of us in here, everybody out there, it's a universal command. Psalm 33:8, let all the earth fear the Lord. All the earth. He's our creator. He gets to make the rules. He gets to decide. He says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. This all belongs to God. None of it's yours. Everything you have, you owe to God. Therefore, you need to fear God. It's a universal command. You wouldn't even be here if you weren't sucking on His air. Think about it. He's given it to you. I've never gone to take a breath and it wasn't there. God takes care of us. Fear the Lord. It's a universal command. But the wicked don't fear God. A wicked person does not fear God. Psalm 36:1, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart. So this is the psalmist saying this, the one that wrote this, and here's what he's looking out, and this is what he sees. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. So I look at the wicked and I realize there's no fear of God in that person's eyes. The wicked people don't fear God. Now, we're going to look at, well, what does the fear of God look like? And I'm not going to get into great detail, but we're going to look at some things that should be there in your life if you fear God. And you might say, well, wait, those things aren't in my life. Then guess what the Bible says you are? The transgression of the wicked saith there is no fear of God before his eyes. God says you're wicked then if you don't fear God. I didn't say that. God said it. So you need to ask yourself, hey, am I serving God in sincerity and in truth? And if not, then you need to start off by fearing God. I can look back in my life, and the first time that I feared God was when I realized I was going to die and go to hell. That was the first time I feared God in my life. Before that, I didn't care. I mean, I remember, this is awful and shameful to even think of this, but I remember tearing pages, any of you seen the Gideon's Bibles? I remember tearing pages out of a Gideon's Bible to roll something up and smoke it. I didn't fear God. I didn't care. That's shameful. But I didn't fear God. There was no fear of God before mine eyes. I would blaspheme God and wouldn't think twice about it in the most vulgar, wicked ways. Some of you in here would never believe it right now, but you can. My mother-in-law's right there. You can ask her. I probably have the filthiest mouth she's ever heard. Maybe not, but she's shaking her head yes. Okay, I'm not proud of that. But I didn't fear God. I had people tell me, you have the filthiest mouth I've ever heard. Everything out of my mouth, every other word, was a cuss word. I didn't fear God at all until one day, the judgment of God was pointed right at me, and I knew if I died, I would go to hell. And I feared God that day. And that's when I got saved. And that's when God turned my life around. It wasn't overnight, but it was pretty quick. I mean, I got saved 13 years ago, give or take. And I'm pastoring a church now, have been for 3 years. I mean, God did that. That's not me, that's God can do that. But it starts by fearing God. We have to start fearing God. If there's no fear of God before your eyes, the Bible describes you as wicked. And if you don't fear God, you can be saved and not fear God like you should. And if that's you, then I promise you, you're not going to serve Him in sincerity and in truth. You have to fear God. You know, in James 2:19, the Bible says, the devils also believe and tremble. Okay, it talks about, oh, you believe there's one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. The devils tremble at the thought of God, but I know lots of people, I've worked with a lot of men that don't tremble at the word of God. But the devils do. So I think that description of those that don't fear God are wicked is a pretty fitting description if the devils even tremble at God, and they're wicked. And if we don't fear God, we're wicked. You're wicked if you don't fear God. So how do you know if you fear God? First, you'll obey His commands. I'm not going to have us turn there, but I'm going to give you the reference and read it. Deuteronomy 6:2, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all His statutes and His commandments. So if you fear God, what does He say? You're going to keep His statutes and His commandments. Verse 14 here in Joshua 24, now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side. What are you going to do? Obey His commandments. Keep His commandments. So an evidence, a proof that you fear God is that you obey God's commands. If you don't obey God's commands, you don't fear God. It's that simple. And if you're not doing that, and again, I'm not saying you're perfect, but I'm saying your heart and your life is striving to follow God. You're going to stumble, you're going to fall, but you get up, you say, God, I'm sorry. Lord, help me, I'm struggling with this thing. And you get up and you continue trying to serve Him. Okay, that's the difference between just, I don't care. I'm not going to do that. I don't care what God, what the Bible says. See, there's a complete difference attitude. Again, the spiritual person, I'll often illustrate it like this. Okay, someone can be a drug addict, just the horrible, most worst person you could think of. I mean, criminal all their life, and they get saved, and they're just excited about God, but they don't know everything the Bible teaches, but they're excited about God. They love God. They're thankful God saved them, and they're running this way. And we're going to say that direction is towards God, and they're just running as fast as they can, but they're way over here, and their life's still a mess, and they're still fixing things in it, and they're still trying to serve God, but they're going this way. versus maybe, say, some saved person that's been saved for 10 years, 15 years, grown up in church all their life or whatever, and they're over here, and, you know, they look, if you look at them outwardly, this person looks better, they look cleaner, they look like they're closer to God, but really in their heart, this person is not facing this way, but this person is facing this way. The more spiritual person's the one over there, because their heart is right. You say, but their life's, they're doing some things wrong and they don't have everything fixed. Yeah, but they're more spiritual because they're going towards God versus this person has forsaken God, turned their back on Him, and they're going away from Him. That person's more spiritual. Why? Because it's what's in here. It's the heart. Which way are you going? See, that's what matters there. Which way are you going? So you'll obey God's commands. That's how you know if you fear God. Proverbs 8:13 says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. So if you fear God, you're going to hate evil, you're going to hate pride, you're going to hate arrogancy, you're going to hate the evil way. Say, what? How does that look like practically? You know, I'm against Hitler. Of course, that guy's wicked. I hate the evil way. Well, do you hate the evil way when you see it in a movie? Do you put that before your eyes? You know, when they're getting drunk in the movie, drunkenness or fornicating in a movie, do you hate it then just as much? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride. Do you hate pride when it wells up within you? We've all felt pride. You know, who likes being wrong? You know, I'm standing my ground. I don't even care. No. Do you hate that pride within you? Arrogancy, the evil way, things that are evil. Do you hate those things? You know, when someone blasphemes God's name, does it just rub you the wrong way? Are you just when you hear somebody blaspheme God's name? That's how you know you fear God. The froward mouth do I hate. What's a perverse mouth? You know, I've worked in usually like blue-collar jobs, usually with just men. And man, there's some just perverse things that go on there, the jokes and everything that are said, the froward mouth. Do you hate the froward mouth? I hate the froward mouth. I don't want to be around it. You stand for Christ then. Stand up for it. You know, they start telling a filthy joke, just turn around and walk away. They might think I'm rude. Man, God might think you're rude if you stand there and stay listening to it. Does that concern you? If you were asleep, you woke up. Don't worry about what people think. Love God. Love God. You'll have strong confidence. Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. You know, you might be the most timid person. So I couldn't share the gospel with someone. I'm so afraid. I can't speak well. But if you fear God, you'll have strong confidence. Why? God will help you. God will help you. I promise you, He will. He'll give you the confidence to do it. He'll give you the confidence maybe to stand for Christ when no one else is in your workplace. When you're afraid, I don't know what's going to happen. He'll give you that strong confidence. You teenagers at school, just in ungodly environments, God will give you that strong confidence to stand for Him if you fear Him. He says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. So if you're in the fear of God, you'll have strong confidence. And get this, going back to Joshua 24:14, it says, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. So what do you do if you fear God? You'll turn loose of your wicked idolatry. Your idols, you'll let go of them. Hey, what's that thing that floats your boat? What do you get up for in the morning? If you fear God, you'll turn loose of that thing. Your heart will be running towards Jesus Christ instead of towards your wallet or towards a car or towards a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a child. It'll be running towards Jesus Christ. You'll turn loose of your idolatry. You'll turn from your wicked ways. Idolatry will destroy you and pull you away from God faster than anything. And I'm telling you, there are so many idols in this world that we live in today. They're everywhere. I mean, we're even putting it out there. I know this show's a little bit old, but you got American Idol. What in the world? I mean, okay, for lost people, I understand. Lost people are going to do what lost people do. But God's people, saved people, should have nothing to do with something even named like that. American Idol? What, this is my idol now? And it's okay, we're lifting that up as something good? Just, why don't we just, American idolatry, here it is. Have at it. Put all your focus on that. I mean, my family just went through a weeks-long electronics fast. and getting off of Facebook, getting off of social media, is that your idol? I'll guarantee if we were to do an honest survey, people that are on social media, I will guarantee you spend more time on social media than you do walking with God. 9 out of 10 of you. Maybe I'm wrong. That's why I just, on my phone, I noticed it happening in my life. I mean, I'm taking this thing. I mean, I'm on Facebook for our church's Facebook page and stuff, but I had to take it off where it's just right there where I can just get to it all the time. And I log out of it every time I'm out of it because I just don't want the notifications coming up and all that stuff. Why? Because I noticed it in my life. It's consuming me. I'm on this thing looking at worthless nothing. Not that everything you guys put is worthless nothing, but you understand what I'm saying. All right, there's some good stuff there sometimes, but you know what I mean. How many of you have gotten on? You're like, let me just check my status or my newsfeed real quick. 45 minutes later, you're still thumbing, flipping through it. And you're like, well, I got to, you know, I've done that. I noticed it and I said, I got to get off of that. What? Idolatry. Idolatry. So what do? We repent of that. We let loose of that thing. Recognize it in your life, that idolatry, and remove it. Destroy it if you have to. But do what you need to do. You'll turn loose of that idolatry. This is why we have to get serious about serving God. Don't just play church, but love God in sincerity and in truth. Do you love God in sincerity and in truth? Do you fear the Lord? Every individual in here has to draw their line in the sand and choose whom they're going to serve. Look at verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Joshua just lays it out there for him. Hey, if it's evil to you to serve the Lord, why do you think he's bringing all this up to the children of Israel at the end of his life? The ones that he's led right after Moses, he led them. He spent time with Moses. And he was the next chosen leader of the nation of Israel was Joshua. And Joshua leads them. He leads them through the campaign to take the promised land, to go through all those battles, fight all those victories. The battle of Jericho, you know, the walls come tumbling down and all that. And at the end of his life, why do you think he's bringing this thing up about idolatry to the children of Israel who've taken much of the promised land? Do you think he'd bring it up if they didn't have a problem with it? No, I don't think so. They got a problem with it. That's why he's bringing it up to them. And as you follow the history of the children of Israel, they always have a problem with it. Always. They're following the gods of those in the land that they took. They just keep following it. And it's no different today. Christians today are following the gods of those in this world, in this land where we live. It influences us. It affects us. We think more like the world than we do like God. Because so little of the Bible gets through us and so much of the world gets through us that's going to shape the way we think without even thinking it. It's going to affect the way you think. It's going to program you. It'll get through you. So what we need to do, get the Word of God through us. So we start to think like God. And we have God's thoughts. And if you do that, you're going to be a little bit different than everyone else. You might walk away from the filthy jokes. You might let loose of your idols. You might have to discard some friends because they're going to drag you down. But that idolatry will destroy you faster than anything if you don't turn loose of it. It will grab you and bring you down. That's why the Jews to this day are cast out of their land. Idolatry. So you have to choose who you're going to serve. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. Get this. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. You know, God always gives us a choice. We choose Him, choose our idolatry. But Joshua made a statement here. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what we need today. Men who will stand up and lead their families. Men who will lead their families. Amen. It's okay to say amen. You might be afraid of your wife right now. I don't know. It's okay to say amen right there. We need men who will lead their families. We did an ad, a Facebook ad. It was our first ad we've done for a post we had advertising today. And it gives you some statistics on it. It breaks down the amount of women who've seen it versus the men who've seen it. And I think there was 3,200 or something views on it. And it breaks it down who? of that, I want to say it was about 2,200 women versus the rest of men that viewed it. Okay, what does that say? I was telling my wife that. She said, that's because women are more spiritually minded. I said, that's right, they are. What else does it say? Men don't care for spiritual things, and that's why we let it go most of the time in our homes. Yeah, it's women's stuff. Not to Joshua. Joshua was a warrior. He wasn't some wimp, some soft, effeminate wimp. That wasn't Joshua. He was a man's man. He was a tough guy. He went and fought battles. That's who Joshua was. And he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He made that decision. Me and my house are going to serve the Lord. You do what you want. That's all any of us can say, by the way. Here's what me and my house are going to do. But we need men who will stand up and say that. Men who will do that. Men who will lead their homes. But let me say in that, that doesn't mean that, you know, you get to boss everyone around. And you just bark out orders and everyone has to listen. No, that's not biblical leadership. What the women's lib movement has taken that into mean, that's what it means. And so they look down on biblical Christianity and the biblical home and a biblical family. But if you're really leading how God would have you lead men, then you're going to lead by example. You know, instead of saying, hey, I need you to do this, you'll get up and do it. And I understand sometimes you're going to have your kids do stuff like, or your wife, you'll ask them to do stuff. But you know what? Man, if you know your wife's had a long day, get up and do the dishes. What? Yeah. I was helping my wife do the dishes this morning. Just this morning. I was like, go get ready, I'll do the dishes. And then I had to go rub my hands in dirt so they don't get soft. No, I'm just kidding. But you know what I mean? If we lead biblically, we're going to lead in love. And we're going to actually lead. You know, we look at leading our family, we could look at it like shepherding sheep. Okay, a shepherd, the way he leads is he leads out in front. And the sheep follow. You're driving cattle, they call it, that's why it's different. You shepherd sheep, you drive cattle. A cattle herder is behind them, and you know they've got those electric prongs now, and they'll hit them, go, 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 and they'll get them going. They're driving the cattle, am I right? Yeah. Okay, but a shepherd leads, and they follow. That's how we need to lead our homes, in love. And yes, there's times we have to put our foot down and say, hey, as for me and my house, we're serving the Lord, we're not going to do that. And those aren't fun, but that's what it means to lead. Sometimes you got to do the hard thing. But we lead in love. And we explain things and we teach things and we teach the Bible. You say, I can't teach the Bible. Well, just teach basic. I mean, you don't have to know everything about the Bible to be able to teach the Bible. Just read what it says. And what did God give you in your Bible reading? Oh, that might mean we have to start reading the Bible so we can get something from God. But that's good stuff. We need to do that. I mean, have family devotions. What are family devotions? Well, you get together as a family and you pray. Teach your family something out of the Bible. Read them Proverbs. I mean, teach them something. Do something. Show them something. Let them know God is real in your life. Let your children see that. Let your wife see that. Hey, some of you need to give your wife a break and let her stop leading spiritually and you step up and take over and fulfill your role as a man. That's what God wants, because guess what? Whether you do it or not, you're going to give account of yourself to God, because God expects you to lead your home. Your wife won't give account of it. You will. And you're going to stand before God, and if you don't lead your home, you're going to hang your head in shame that you didn't do what God wanted you to do and what God taught you in His Word to do. You say, well, I don't know what God taught me in His Word. Why don't you know what God teaches in His Word? Are you serving Him in sincerity and in truth? So we're looking here, we're hitting on the men. We got a double-edged sword right here though. Because I just blasted the men and what we need to do. And I've come short of that too lots of times. I'm still working on it. But there's another edge to that sword, and we're going to hit the ladies now. Ladies, let your husband lead. Let him lead. That can be just as hard. To step back and let him lead. I'm naturally a strong leader, probably, I would say. I think my wife would agree. It comes easy to me. I want to lead in just about every situation I'm in. I always want to. That's just how I am. I don't know. That's just how I think. I'm not trying to say I'm special or anything. That's just how God made me. Okay, and God didn't make everyone like that. So if a husband's not like that, wives, you know what type of man your husband is. Allow him to lead, especially if he steps in. Don't say, you're doing it wrong. No, let him do it wrong. I mean, my wife still lets me do things wrong. She's like, man, we are going to crash and burn on this one, but go ahead. But she's done it before. I mean, she has. And we crash and burn. And I'm like, hey, I just get up. I'm like, ah. You know, that pride doesn't want to let me admit I was wrong. But hey, sometimes I'm wrong and we get up and we go at it again. But wives, you got to let your husband lead. That means you got to step back. If your husband told you, you know, we could look at it something like this. Ladies, and we're going to finish up here real soon. But just, we'll talk about clothing here real quick. Okay? And men and women look at clothing completely different. 180 degrees different. A woman looks at it and she's like, that is so cute. And that is not what a guy's thinking, okay? I'm telling you right now, from a man's perspective, you're a pastor. That's right. And I have red blood pumping through my veins and I'm a man. Okay? And that is not how a man thinks. Okay? So if your dad or your husband came to you and he said, I don't want you to wear that. Here's how you know. Are you letting him lead? Now, man, you need to do that in the right way. Say, honey, babe, please, I wish you wouldn't wear that. That just doesn't look right. It kind of reveals too much. Would you please go change? You need to handle it in the right way, not like, go change! You know, you don't want to do it like that. That doesn't work, okay? That's just start World War III, and you guys are going to end up fighting, and you're either not going to where you had planned to go, or you're both going to get there mad, okay? So we got to do it the right way. But ladies, listen to your husbands, your dads, as they say, I wouldn't wear that. You need to go change. You know, because you think, this is so cute. I love it. Everything matches and it looks good. But he's like, that's not how men are going to look at that. And you men know exactly what I'm talking about. So ladies, you need to say, okay, all right. And just submit. Submit yourselves. Be willing to do that. So are you serving God in sincerity and in truth? Are you saved? Have you been born again? If so, when? I don't remember the date I was born again, but I remember the moment. Just like it was yesterday, I could take you there. I know where it was. I remember falling on my knees, crying to God. God, please forgive me. I prayed it like 5-6 times because I don't know if I did it right. My Lord, save me. I don't want to go to hell. Please forgive me. There's tears coming down my face. I remember the moment. When did you have that? When were you born again? Can you look back to that moment? And are you fearing God? Are you serving Him in sincerity and in truth? Are you obeying Him? If not, we need to get ourselves right with God. Maybe you need to be born again today. Maybe Christians, as we start this invitation, you need to come down here and pray and ask God, God, forgive me. You repent of your sins. Say, Lord, I've had idols. Lord, I've had so many things I've lifted up above you and put as more important than you. Maybe you need to get off of social media. Maybe you need to sell a car. Maybe you need to change jobs. What is it? What's keeping you from serving God in sincerity and in truth? That's what Joshua said. Hey, choose you this day. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, okay, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. The gods on the other side of the flood, if you want them, go get them. But as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. So you make your choice today. We make choices all the time. Make your choice today. You going to serve God? Or are you going to serve your old gods? It's up to you.